this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell.
But they never give in. And that's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir. How you doing? How you doing? The most romantic club in the world does it again, bro. Everybody else says it's impossible. Nothing is impossible for Manchester United, sir. How do you like that one?
Dude, setting records in Paris. I mean, Di Maria, what a bitch. Neymar, that shocked look on the sideline says it all. Unbelievable win. Open the history books. We have a new entry. Manchester United going on to the quarterfinals of the Champions League, sir. European nights, not over. Not over.
We'd written it off, bro, as of weeks ago. We were at the game. We were at the home game at Old Trafford, losing 2-0, two big injuries at the beginning. But to come back the way they did in Paris with that squad, 10 players out, academy lads through and through, it's like, I hate to say it, man, I was on the way to the airport, the second half of the game, listening in to MUTV. I've never been more proud of a United fan. That was even before they got the winner. It's just like, that makes you proud, bro. They were fighting the whole game with a team of world-class players. I know Neymar was out, but at the end of the day, they had a better squad that day, and we fought like a better team and got the result.
Dude, we had to dig deep, conjuring the spirit of 99, sir. Like you said, you were on the way to the airport. This is a American Red Devils on the road podcast. You are in Kalispell, Montana. You go do some skiing. Sir,
Whitefish,
how was your
sir.
Day?
Whitefish, finally, mate. Took me an extra day. Thank you very much, sir. Have another. Stay a night
Thank
in Denver.
You, United
more like
Airlines.
Aurora, Colorado. Why not? So I watched the first half. Couldn't get the audio to work on my stream, so I'm going nuts when Lukaku gets those two goals.
So you were on your phone? Like when you
No, I watched computer first half, and I actually had a decent stream, but I had no audio. Second half, I listened on MUTV. They actually have a pretty good play-by-play. No video, but I listened on the earbud on the way to the airport, went through security with that doing, then got stopped by security because they wanted to check out their voice recorder that looks like a bomb. They were like, what is this thing? And then we ran to a restaurant and caught the penalty, bro. I caught the penalty, and thankfully I saw that, and I was like, looked like a lunatic, as usual. But hey, whatever it takes, mate.
I mean, it's crazy because you schedule these trips far out in advance, and then this huge game falls on the day of the trip, and you got to somehow get through security watching, listening to the game. I actually got to watch it at home. Unbelievable stuff. I'm still buzzing, sir, from that win. But again, sorry for any audio delay there might be, as Alex is not in person like we usually are sitting on this couch. But let's jump into the lineup, sir. So we're going to go with Dave Saves World number one in net, Luke Shaw, Lindelof, and Smalling, and Bailly comes in at the right back spot. Pereira, Fred, McTominay, and Ashley Young, and Lukaku and Rashford up top for the 4-4-2. Ole keeping it simple here, but again, the real point of note, Bailly in right back position, Dalot on the bench. Sir, what do you think about this lineup?
Sir, when I saw this, I figured they were playing a back three. It actually didn't transpire that way. I think they ended up playing a back four while Bailly was in the game. At blush, I was excited by the back three. Excited about the players. You know, these are the players we have available. A little surprised not to see Dalot, but I think Young makes sense based on his tenure. So no huge surprises for me, sir. How'd you feel?
I said, hey, let's go. I mean, we're injury depleted. This is the best squad we got. I really like Pereira, McTominay in there. Fred, I thought, a little jumpy last time he played against Crystal Palace. So
that was last time.
Yeah, I know, but he came good for Shakhtar in the Champions League, and you know, so had to give him a run. This is the best we got, and the boys had nothing to lose. I think that was the attitude coming in. Ole pregame presser, real positive. So you know, there's nothing to lose. Just go out and hit him for two, hit him for three, sir. Advance the Champions
League. You know what the
League,
big takeaway, sir? Like, you know, the big takeaway from those press conferences with Ole was, we get an early goal, anything's possible, mate. And you know what? We got an early goal.
Yeah, let's jump right into the action here. First half, second minute.
That, and you'd imagine, it'd be enough.
Well, there's an early mistake here and an early chance for Lukaku. An early goal for Lukaku. And Manchester United get the perfect start. Gifted to them. Lukaku has been in splendid form. in the Premier League now strikes crucially.
Their tactical awareness, but this is a kind of slack pass inside that they just didn't do. I mean, he's blind, he doesn't look. Lukaku gets forced wide, but he does ever so well to keep his composure, just make sure he connects with it cleanly, gets it on target. What a big goal this might be.
Kara plays an errant pass under pressure from Marcus Rashford, and Lukaku pounces one-on-one with Buffon. He takes one touch around and finishes from a really tight angle, sir. I mean, this was 50-50 stuff. I didn't think Lukaku could get this in the net, but we go up, hit him for one, and we just need one goal. We just
such
need
a
one
big goal.
88 minutes
goal.
Left.
Tain turns the whole tide, bro. It makes the United team believe that we can do it, and it makes the Paris team start to worry that, damn, bro, this is not a lock yet. So this is straight off the training ground. Straight off the training ground, the whoever is watching tape for weeks and weeks and weeks at PSG know that this is a vulnerability of them, right? Rashford was pinching up. Lukaku was playing that pass, looking for it, and it was errant. And he just basically a foot race with Silva and still had a lot to do. I know Buffon is old, but still took a touch, and he had to get on his horse at the very end to get that ball in. But unbelievable, because it is such a massive goal to get that goal in the second minute. So good for Big Luke, bro, scoring against big teams, not just Southampton's and Crystal Palace's, but also the PSG's of the world.
Dude, your boy, Big Luke, uncurses the jersey.
It's uncursed, right? I mean, officially, like, I think a brace is uncursed official.
But, sir, I mean, this dates back 2 years ago when we started this pod. You coined the phrase thunder and lightning. Lukaku and Rashford playing up top and coming off for Manchester United lately. And Rashford putting Kara under pressure and Lukaku picking up the slop. It's going to be a common theme in this match, sir. But after this goal, PSG, they were pissed. They came out hot.
They did.
Primarily coming down the left-hand side of their pitch, which is our right-hand side, hitting Bailly and Ashley Young, cutting us up, Bernat and Di Maria, just doing a number. Bernat had Mbappe wide open in front of goal with one opportunity, I want to say, in the sixth or seventh minute, just missed him. I think there was probably six or seven opportunities like this after we scored our goal. We were really in defensive mode, and Bailly looking like a liability back there.
Sir. I mean, I think he took the Space Jam juice out of Romelu's locker, started drinking it, mate. Because honestly, he looked like he didn't know what he was doing a little bit. I mean, that was a vulnerability. It was all on the right side, and he almost felt bad. I was like, oh my God, what's he doing? Eric Bailly's going to blow us this game. Because he kept pulling in and thinking he was a center back, but he has to play as a right back, you know? And they kept going at us on the left side for their side.
Yeah,
so
and he has to hand
it was
off
worrisome,
the,
bro.
You know, he has to hand off the attacker. His marking was off. He was trying to play the offside trap as well. There was a vulnerability there right after we scored our goal, and we didn't have to wait long in the 12th minute.
Now Draxler. United have repositioned. Mbappe. Well, here's Mbappe. And there's the goal for Bernat. Great response. They've made previous chances since conceding, but they flex their muscles, PSG here.
Mbappe cutting us open, sir. I mean, this really took the wind out of our sails. We came out with that initial goal, and then PSG pull it right back. We look in shambles on the right-hand side of the field. How are you feeling?
Especially, sir, I mean, you do all that good work to get an early goal for a team that you know goals are going to be tough to come by. You're not going to get a ton of opportunities. And give up a goal like that, bro. I mean, Bailly, he looked like he forgot where he was because that was just like, just stopped running. And if you give up those kind of opportunities to a team like PSG, you'll lose by 10 goals. I mean, if we kept giving up opportunities like that, we would have gotten ripped apart. But
he
it was worrisome.
He wasn't even turned on. He wasn't even like thinking that.
And that didn't wake him up. The worst thing is it actually didn't wake him up. He didn't like all of a sudden switch on after we gave up this goal, which was like a really not good goal to give up to. You know, if
yeah,
you're going to try and get results.
He played Mbappe onside too.
Yep.
As far as his play, he played Mbappe onside, and he just didn't even follow the run of Bernat. So, I mean, Bailly looking like a liability. After this goal, I heard kind of Solskjaer, I saw an image of him on the sidelines kind of talking to his staff, thinking about, we got to do something about this because we are getting murdered.
I mean, it looked like if they were going to get another goal or if they're going to pick us apart, it was through that right. So, I think it was injury.
And the chances kept coming for PSG, 20th minute. Dave saves Bernat again down that same side, open again for a free shot in the box. De Gea just parries it right back out into play. Another great save from De Gea. But again, by showing that he's a liability back there, Solskjaer has to do something. tactically to fix this, but you know, he can't, doesn't have many moves when he's on the sideline. Out of nowhere in the 30th minute.
Hide it. Here's Rashford. They do fancy themselves when they get into an attacking position, Manchester United. And why not? Mistake by Buffon. Second goal from Lukaku. Rashford shot. And Lukaku pounced.
Well, would you believe it? Rashford, who's had a couple of nightmare moments, just decides, yeah, I'm going to have a crack here on this wet surface. Why not? With that dippy technique of his, bouncing it in front of Buffon. Yes, it's a mistake, but Lukaku's alive to it.
Rashford with a knuckleball. Lukaku clean up the scraps. Again, that's the theme here. Thunder and lightning, sir. You famously coined that phrase, these two. Rashford doing some hard work, and Lukaku clean up the scraps.
Not sir, bad. They don't always have to be pretty, mate, but as long as they provide a goal is a goal, and that is a poacher's goal, bro. It's like he had some bangers on the weekend, but that is just the kind of goal that Romelu Lukaku is known to score, and that is like a Wayne Rooney goal. It's just you follow the run. You know Buffon's got a track record for bumbling him. He's 42, bro. He should hang up his cleats. Great goalie, historically. Unbelievable tracker, but like you know that he's vulnerable on spilling a ball, and that I think that's another one from the training ground. They know it's like, Rashford, your shot's got some movement. Take a hit. We're not going to get a ton of chances. Take a hit. The ball might flick out, and Lukaku, you be on it. And he was, bro, and that's a great finish. Great goal. Great scrappy goal. And an important goal, man, and a huge brace for Romelu Lukaku for this team. And it should have been 2-0 at this point in my mind, which is the unfortunate thing, but massive goal, mate.
PSG did have quite a few opportunities, I'm going to say. But the good part for United is that when we did attack them, they looked vulnerable. Like when we did have the ball and we could get into the final third, they looked shaky. It's just getting to that final third was the difficult part of it. Their midfield dominating, their wing play dominating, really pinning us back. We didn't have a lot of opportunities. And I kind of felt like our immaturity showed a little bit. The youngsters, they weren't as judicious as they should have been with the ball, giving it back to PSG really quickly and playing against a team that wants to have 70% of the ball at home. You know, we really have to pick our chances and be wise with our passing.
I think we settled down a bit in the second half, especially the exactly. boys that had an especially good game, which is McTominay. I think McTominay and Fred had standout midfield games. I think Pierre had a great game. Everyone had a great, honestly, everyone had a great game, probably other than Bailly. But apparently he got injured, right? 36 minute, he came off for Dalot, and that kind of changed the game, right? Because Dalot played and offered a totally different option, and Young just shored things up on the right in a major way.
Verratti doing us a favor, goes in on Bailly. Bailly comes off. I honestly think Bailly was coming off regardless.
So do I. I think you're right.
It looked like what they were discussing on the sideline, he was going to come off. So I think as a player, you kind of know it's not your day. And you go into a hard challenge, you're like, ah, I got to go. I got to go. So this could have been like a self-sub almost by Bailly. Either way, the move made total sense. Dalot came in, opened things up on the right-hand side for us. Young slotted into the right-back role, which he – again, he did a great job.
Well, Bailly does a pace.
That is.
Bailly does a pace, but he just looked out of his element. Like, he hasn't been playing enough, or he just had an off night, but it wasn't for him. And Young, slated by me. I think I've come around to Young. He's been slated by a lot of people. He's been. I've come around, dude. Of course, I've come around before this game, but even especially, he came in, he showed such a calm head, and he made a lot of big, big tackles in the second half. As did Smalling, as did Lindelof, but Young was, he was just, put him right back, bro. He does a job, and he knows exactly what he needs to do. And Bailly just looked like he didn't know how to play the position.
But Dalot coming in 40th minute, amazing chance. I think there's a few highlights on Twitter. Dalot's doing the step over, beating a man on the right-hand side.
Silky.
Goes into the box, and he just sends a bullet, a zinger pass, hoping to find a United player. But it deflects off a PSG player, almost deflects into the net. I mean, Dalot, instant impact. This sub really galvanized the side. Dalot going down the right-hand side, opening the matchup.
It's his contribution up front and Young shoring things up at the back. I mean, I think this sub, whether it was injury, whether it was form, needed to be made. And if injury just forced you to do it before the second half, it changed us. And even, you know, they had a lot of chances in the second half, we'll get to in a bit. But that sub was big. And if that was a tactical one, that is a tactical genius sub from Ole and his squad.
Dude, tactical genius. I haven't heard that since the Moyes days, sir.
It's been a minute.
Going in second half, what do you think Ole is saying to the boys?
I think he's saying, you're in this tie, lads. You are in this game. This game is there to be won. You've already scored two goals. Let's keep the clean sheet. Let's take our chances. Let's not panic. Right? I think that was what we did in the, right, with those midfielders, giving the ball away too cheaply, is that we tried to turn on them and use our pace with Rashford and Lukaku, and we gave the ball away too easily. And I think we have to be really smart with the ball. And they look smarter on the ball. McTominay and Fred and Pierre, I started looking like just like wise midfielders and just not giving the ball away cheaply and slowing it down, even if it meant that they wouldn't get a chance to put a really, you know, to maybe create something from a counter.
Yeah, no, I think he came out thinking we went into half looking good. Let's not change too much. Come out in the second half, and boy, PSG off on the front foot. 56th minute, Mbappe flicks a pass through Smalling's legs. I mean, this is unbelievable. First time touch from Mbappe, flicking it and nutmegging Mike Smalling. Goes false Di Maria, who finishes chip finishes it over De Gea, sir. This was
cheeky.
I thought this was onside at the time. I mean, my heart sank in my chest. And then the flag goes up. They double check on VAR and ruled offsides. But again, this is kind of the talent PSG has firing up front. I mean, we have some youngsters in the team as well. But I mean, you look at the class they have up there. This type of chance out of nothing, they can just cut you open and score that winner and take us out of the game. They had their chances. I just don't think they took them.
They didn't take them, and I think we defended really well in the second half. I mean, we knew that we were going to just sit back and let them have a lot of the ball because we already gotten two of the away goals. We just need to not concede, especially early. And we defended really well as a unit. I'm telling you, it's like Mourinho is a defensive coach, and we look like the best defensively we've looked since Fergie. It's they defend as one, they play midfield as one, and when we get the ball, we tend to attack as one as well. So it's great to see, and it was huge. It was the only way we were going to pull out a victory in this game was by defending at all odds, and a lot of just the great performances all around, man.
Yeah, and shortly after this, I believe there was an injury, some sort of break in play. Ole actually pulled Ashley Young onto the side of the field, a bunch of players, and he switched to a 5-4-1, and he was locking it down. So like you said, that good defense, Ole was just trying to get us to the 80th minute, maybe late winner, with a defensive style of play, and then go for it sort of in the last 10 minutes or so of the game.
But it was nervy.
It was nervy. You could tell it's like when Rashford fell into that midfield four, things did change. We weren't getting the ball up. You know, De Gea looked uncertain, getting the ball to his center backs, moving the ball up the field. Kind of like, I want to say, as we got more compact, PSG were there ready to pounce. And so I don't think that tactic actually worked too well. We did put in a lot of challenges. In the 76th minute, another great chance for PSG. Meunier on the touchline puts another pass to Mbappe, but Mike Smalling is there to put in a last-ditch tackle. I mean, Mbappe, the number one threat in the field, Smalling, Lindelof, last-ditch challenges everywhere to prevent him from putting the ball in the net. He had quite a few, sir.
He did. I mean, the whole team, really, on the defensive side. Ashley Young, Chris Smalling, Victor Lindelof, Luke Shaw. I mean, they all played so well. Midfield, McTominay and Fred and Piera, just like an unbelievable team performance. There are players of the game, you know, top three, if you will, but everyone played so well that you almost don't want to single out, because this wouldn't have happened unless everybody played up to this ability. You know, they were going forward, they were pushing forward, and we held the line pretty well. I mean, like, these chances were close, right? Offside, the one with De Gea in a bit, but just like do whatever it takes to keep that clean sheet in the second half.
We were grinding this game.
Whatever
out,
it took.
And then, hey, 80th minute, bring in some offensive reinforcements, sir.
Love this
sub. My boy, Chong, Cheech and Chong, coming on for Pereira. Pereira did a great job, put in a shift, and Chong comes on to kind of open things up. Great to see Ole trusting the youth, getting these players in. You need a fresh body. Anyone. You want to go on, score. You want to be a Manchester United legend, go take this opportunity. I love the attitude by Ole, but shortly after Chong came on the field, 82nd minute, like you mentioned, sir, Alves, Danny Alves, one of the greatest football trolls of all time. I do not rate him. He put in an amazing
most PSG player ever, right? Most yeah. PSG player of all time, bro. It was like he got tackled by Pereira in like the 12th minute, and he was like, "No, you don't do that. You don't do that. You know, like, fuck you, Alves. Walk on, mate."
Number one chump puts in an outside the boot ball to Mbappe. Just completely cuts open our defense. Mbappe in one-on-one. Dave saves desperation, gets a hand to the ball. Mbappe gets back to his feet, Smalling in with the last-ditch challenge. falls to Bernat, who puts it on the post. Sir, really nervy stuff here. PSG coming close to icing us. And
that's, when I knew we were going to win. When they hit the post, I was like, it's locked, bro.
The footballing gods are smiling on us.
We have no doubt.
I mean, I sat on the couch. I'm literally just like, it's too intense. This is such an intense, like, if we were to come this close and not do the job, it'd be so hard to take, right? I hate PSG. I hate Di Maria. I don't rate Dani Alves. They're a bunch of chumps. The Qataris, I can go on and on and on, sir.
All day. How much time you got, mate?
2-1. We just need a goal. It didn't look like we were really creating much. And this is the problem I had is Ole, 87th minute, brought on Greenwood for Ashley Young, but there wasn't much of a coherent attack. Our midfield wasn't able to cope with PSG. We were looking exposed as we went forward, sir. I mean, I wasn't feeling too confident going in that we would get like a couple of really good chances to win this. How are you feeling,
sir? We just need a little magic, bro. We just need a little magic, you know. What did our Chelsea fans say on the thread? No way you're going to pull out a result with McTominay in the starting 11. That's because Chelsea fans fundamentally lack imagination, bro. And for Manchester United fans, it is never dead until the final whistle blows. And I was like, we're still in it. Until the whistle's over, we are still in this game. And what did it take, sir? It took a little bit of VAR magic, mate.
In the 90th minute.
Don, here come the Premier League team. Rashford. Dalot. Wants a corner. Gets a corner. The Champions League veteran as a player, now very much a rookie as a Manchester United manager.
We're looking at VAR here. Is it that handball?
Oh, goodness me.
The fact he's actually gone across would suggest, you know, the VAR panel have said, yeah, it's worth a look. I'd be amazed if they gave that.
Arm is down by his side.
United fans chanting VAR.
At this stage, of course. And he's given the penalty.
Oh, my word.
Goodness me. A VAR awarded penalty right at the end. Up steps Rashford. And fires it in. And fires Manchester United surely into the last eight of the Champions League. Mission improbable, but not impossible.
Rashford Martin, he had a long time to think about this, and he's gone for power, he's had the confidence to lift the ball, which can easily go wrong under these kind of tensions and pressures, but he's done the business for his team.
Rashford's first penalty for Manchester United nets against the former world number one, Manchester United 3, PSG, the chumps 1, aggregate 3-3. We have the advantage on away goals, sir. Not going to lie, kind of broke down, sir. I think I shed a man tear here.
I don't think you're the only red, sir.
Dude, the emotion, the release, the you know, the torture, Moyes, Van Gaal, Mourinho, all the years. And just this is just this most amazing result we've had since Alex Ferguson. And it got me, sir. It got me.
Sir, you're not the only one. I was looking around on Twitter, a lot of American Red Devils. And a lot of Red Devils around the world were feeling it. And this was because it felt like magic, man. It felt like that Manchester United magic that really only this club has made it part of its history. And we brought it out tonight, right? An academy lad steps up who's never taken a penalty before in Paris. And all these, like, chump fans are hissing, dude. And he goes in and smacks it. Like, no one could save that penalty. It was a perfect penalty. And we go into the corner, celebrate with the away fans. Unbelievable stuff, sir.
It's everything, right? This is what Manchester United is about. It's like the odds are stacked against us. Tons of injuries. Down 2-0. Ole, our gaffer, sir. Mounds are there to be climbed. We'll never say die. We'll never give up. We'll dig it out all day, every day. And Manchester United's back. We are back on the block. Like, the magic is back. The fans believe. The players believe. The youth players believe. Ole has instilled the spirit of 99 in Manchester United, and I'm sure every single fan, if I did a poll, you think we could win the Champions League? I bet you every fan would say yes, and I bet every player in that locker room would say yes, and that is why we are Manchester fucking United, bro.
It's a special club, bro. I'm telling you, even before we won this game, I was proud. academy lads, right? McTominay, Pierre are going out there and like doing a job, fighting tooth and nail with a PSG team just loaded to the brim with talent. And we squeak it out because Lukaku got two big goals. We held the line in the second half. And then just a little bit of luck, the Lowe's having a go. And then VAR gods are shining down on us, bro, because you know what? Manchester United never fucking dies.
Never die. And Ole's at the wheel. How good does it feel, sir? Ooh, let's just so touch good. On the let's touch on the VAR decision. I mean, I thought this handball. I say handball. I mean, for me, it's like if his arm was any closer to his body, no penalty. If it was any further away, it's a penalty. It was right on the edge. He clearly extended it. It clearly blocked the shot, and he was in the box. I saw the replay first time. I said, that's a penalty. And it was called. Apparently, Ferdinand said it's not a penalty. A lot of players are claiming not pen, but all the referees.
Maybe back in the day, say I think it's now it's a penalty. You're trying to make yourself big. He's turning his back on goal, which is like you're exposing yourself right there. If you turn your back on goal and you put your arm out, I think that's a penalty in my mind, especially in the late part of the game when you're trying to like stop whatever kind of chances are coming in. Penalty, fair result.
Dude, Rashford steps up. I thought Lukaku was going to take this one. It's interesting that, you know, Lukaku's on a brace. You think he's in form. And then the kid, people to step up the spot.
He put his hand up, sir. He put his hand up. And that's why he's going to be world class, because he did that, bro. He's 20. He's like 20. He's like, yeah, give it to me. I'll take it. He's all right. Go make us proud. Lukaku's like, go make us proud. And he did, dude.
Did you see the PSG players that are like fronting? They like start getting in the box, started. Yeah, what did
Fred
Rashford
do? Fred's coming out party. He was like, yeah. I love seeing that. I was like, yeah, back off. You're not saying shit to our penalty taker. And that was so great to see.
That's classless. That's classless. You're going to go like, they are yell classless, at a play. Bro. Like, I mean, that's such a chump move. I wouldn't like my team doing that. I mean, you could say, hey, all is fair and love in football, but at the same time, it's like, have a little respect for the game. That was pretty cheap from PSG. But again, Buffon picked the right side. Rashford just hit it with so much venom that not a chance. I mean, his arm, if you saw it, it was going for the ball. It was like a second behind. I think the pace is what beat him. Pace and placement from Rashford. Like, he's our new penalty taker. Sorry, Pogba.
I agree. Fired, I mean, he just blasted. He blasted. After that, I mean, I think.
You score that pen, like, that penalty means everything to this team, these fans. I mean, ISIS PSG at home. Like, the pressure. I thought he wasn't going to be able to take the pressure. I mean, how are you feeling?
And then that stoppage time,
pen?
Sir. I mean, after that pen, I thought he'd be able to. If he signed up for it, I was like, he's going to smoke it. He's going to rip it down. I had no doubt, actually, in Rashford. What I had doubt on, I was like, how much fucking stoppage time are they going to add? And they added quite a bit.
It was 3 minutes of stoppage
3 minutes,
time.
3 minutes, bro. They added more than 3 minutes after the penalty.
Penalty was done in, like, the 93rd, 94th. Penalty was over 94, so I was like, okay, 97th minute, blow the whistle. Kept going and going and going. I was like, is this guy on the PSG payroll? I mean, it's got to be, right? He added 7 extra minutes after the penalty, 6 extra minutes after the penalty. So ridiculous.
You think we would have gotten 7 minutes? You think we would have gotten 10 minutes?
Not a
like,
chance.
Come on. No way. But
he did give us
the
VAR
result, bro.
Decision, so
we'll take it.
I guess I can't complain. Jumping to the match reaction, unreal. Buzzing, sir. I'm going to be buzzing for a long time. Possession-wise, United, 28% of the ball. Who cares? PSG got 72%. You can dominate possession and still lose the game. I rate goals more than possession, sir. Shots on target, United 5 to PSG's 12. I think it comes down to the fact they didn't take their chances, and Mbappe could have put the game away with that one chance one-on-one with De Gea. He didn't do it, and then we go down, get the penalty. So I think PSG can't be blaming no referees. They got to be looking themselves in the mirror and saying they didn't take their chances.
And I'm going to make a big statement. Not a big statement, but I'm going to make a statement. Is that Luke, bro, he won us the game. That second minute chance was not an easy chance to take. Him finishing that off, we wouldn't have won the game. I think that early goal just set the tone for the rest of it. And both those goals, I mean, like the second one was even crazier in some ways because of the fumble on Buffon. But he had to get that in, you know, and he almost didn't. And he did just enough. And that was like, as soon as that happened, it was our game to win.
Sir... Yeah, I'll always give you the floor for when Big Luke scores a brace. You can brag.
3 in a row, bro. I mean, last time to do that was your boy.
Your boy's in fuego, son. Let's wait till Paul P gets back on the field. All right, PSG has conceded with 3 of the 4 shots on target they faced in this game. Actually, that's 5, and have been eliminated at the last 16 round in the Champions League for the last 3 seasons. What a bunch of baby bitches.
Yuck it up, mate. Yuck it up.
I think it's so much sweeter because we went to the game in Manchester and we saw how classless the PSG fans were. So actually, like, I know them on a personal level. It's actually more than just through the TV. Having seen them, having seen how they treat Old Trafford, I have a particular bad taste in my mouth when it comes to PSG fans, and they got everything they deserved and more. So there's a lot of great posts on Reddit if you want to see PSG fans talking smack after the first leg. And they're eating, yum, 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 eating those words. eating those words on the internet machine. The memes are on fire. Go check out Twitter. Type in hashtag DiMaria. Have a laugh, son. There's like 10 great ones. Him holding the L in place of that
life
bottle.
Life is good, dude. Life is good, bro. Dawn has arrived.
Life is good. Sir, your boy has a big stat.
Romelu Lukaku's first goal after 111 seconds was Man United's fastest in a Champions League knockout match since Wayne Rooney scored after 63 seconds against Bayern Munich in March 2010. It's been a minute. Quickies are important, mate. You got to set the tone early, and this is a mistake that we capitalized on, right? I think we forced that mistake, but capitalizing on it is what it's all about because we haven't in the past.
Dude, when you only have 5 shots, you got to take your chances.
Yeah, we need 3 goals.
Since the start of last season, the only Premier League players to score more goals in all competitions than Manchester United's Romelu Lukaku are Mo Salah, Harry Kane, and Sergio Aguero. So he's in the top 4.
Pretty good list.
Your boy, big Luke
Pretty
hype
good list.
Trade.
I mean, six in the last 3 helps, right? He propped up the numbers. Yeah, uneven start to the season, but he had a great year last year, 27 goals, and he's picking up in form because we had a lot of injuries and we need goals and just doing what he's been asked to do, right? It was a great line in the press conference where he was talking about how he's like, Ole told him he's got like 3 to 4 weeks to get ready, basically to be in shape, which he's now been in for the last 10 days and just like stepping up when the team needed it. And I don't know, Ole is just like a prophet or a fortune teller, but Luke was ready.
Hey, he's been called upon. He stepped up. Big Luke, like I said, I already ate my words. That man standing at Manchester United, sir.
Ain't going nowhere, bro. Him and Ole.
Marcus Rashford's winning penalty, like we said, was the first he has ever taken in a competitive match for Manchester United. Looked like it was his 80th. He dispatched it with confidence. I'm going to say he's our bang-on penalty taker. I can't handle that Pogba run-up anymore. And since Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's first match in charge on the 22nd of December, only Manchester City have won more matches in all competition than Manchester United among the top 5 European leagues. So we are right at the top of the list in form, ready to win the Champions League. Sir, what do you think?
Sir, we weren't supposed to have a chance on Wednesday in Parc des Princes in Paris, so I think we're favorites now for Arsenal, even with the academy lads. We got Pogba back in the fray. Let's batter them. Can't wait.
We're always favorites when we play Arsenal, sir. Come on.
There you go. I like that.
Maybe not the bookies, but every Manchester United fan would
good for us then, right?
Beat Arsenal, yeah. And Manchester United have now scored 21 consecutive away matches in all competitions, equaling the club record set between November 1956 and September 1957 under Sir Matt Busby, sir. Always good to be matching Busby. And Mason Greenwood became the youngest player to appear for Manchester United in the Champions League. He was 17 years and 156 days, breaking the record held by, get this, Gerard Pique, 17
hell
years.
Hell of a player.
310 days. I mean, we let him go. That was a tough one, man.
That was a tough one. I think Fergie probably told him that, you know, if you want to go back to Barca, he'd allow it. But he turned into quite a player. And I think Mason Greenwood has all the potential to turn into quite a player. He already has the frame of a man, dude. He's 17. He looks like he looks like a man. So I think the goals I've seen him score, the way he's rated in the academy, he's gonna have a bright future.
Let's check in with the manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
I've 3 very quick questions for you. How long would you like on your contract? What would your salary like to be? And where would you like the statue?
Fantastic night, eh? I'm just going to do my best until the summer, see what the club decides.
They've only got one decision to make now, haven't they?
I hear you keep saying that. So we just, this tonight we have to remember. A fantastic night. You're just spirit of Man United. Great to see the boss in there after the game as well, first time. So the lads were just absolutely magnificent.
The thing is about a group of players, I heard them actually through the dressing room door singing your name. They absolutely love you, don't they?
I don't know, but they get results. We have a good relationship, I have to say, and it's been fantastic coaching them. With Kieran, Michael, Demps, Mick. Of course, we're and Emilio, we're a great team together. The players, I think they enjoy us. We just want them to improve. We want them to have nights like this. We've been part of it ourselves, haven't we?
I heard your press conference yesterday, and you never said one negative word. Everything was positive. But I was watching it thinking, you're just saying that because you have to say that. But you actually believed it, didn't you?
Yeah, of course. Of course. You've been here.
I didn't.
But you've been here. I coach these. I know. I've gotten to know the players. And, you know, being underdogs, it's not usual for us at Man United, but it was a nice feeling for the boys today, because loads of young players, loads of players who've not played, and it's great for them just to go out and have nothing to lose. And we just said, go out and express yourself. We know we have to defend more than we've ever done, run more than we've ever done, but you'll get chances and take them.
Hey, Gary Neville said it best. How much money do you want? Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, he's pretty much the permanent gaffer at Manchester United. I think it's a done deal. Obviously, Gary Neville playing it up pretty big for Sky Sports with a smile on his face. I mean, ex-Manchester United player, so proud to have the spirit of 99 back in the club, sir.
Sure, I think it's been done for a while, but I think all he's doing is just bumping up his wages, mate. every big game he wins adds another million to his annual salary, so good for him. Deserves it. You know, unbelievable run he's had, and the boys are buzzing, the club is buzzing, everyone is so excited. All the Manchester United fans are so excited that this club feels like it's back. And it feels like he's just like channeling Fergie. He's like Fergie's heir apparent, even though, you know, he thought that was Moyes, but it turned out to be Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Sir, you know who's also buzzing? Paul Pogba in the locker room. He was buzzing so hard he crashed the interview with Rashford Lukaku. Let's hear it.
Gentlemen, that was high drama. High drama of the highest caliber. Romelu, forgive me if I go to this man first. You know what? So, what was it like in those moments stepping up to take that penalty? That's Ashley Young's contribution.
I think, you know, it's a press.
Yeah! We don't speak, we only perform.
It's quite lively down here, as you can tell. So you're standing there, everything's in your hands in that moment. What are you thinking?
I think just keep a cool head, you know. They're the type of things you practice every day, and, you know, I wanted to take it, and, you know, probably other people in the pitch as well. It doesn't matter now because we got the goal and we're progressing in that camp.
You're sounding very calm now, but you had to stand out there for a very long time, knowing this was happening. The review's going on. They're pressuring you. They're in your face as well. And your first Manchester United penalty, by the way, isn't it?
Yeah. Like you say, that's probably the hardest thing. The wait before, but you know, it's all part of the game. And the moments, that's what we live for. You know, you want to get through the moments and be smiling after.
Absolutely right, Romelu. Come on in. What a fantastic performance! Extraordinary by the entire team.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. You know, we were confident the day before the game. I think me and Marcus. I think in the last game against Southampton, as a pair up front, we knew that we could have done the business today. And today we played together. I mean, it was a pleasure to play with him like that. And you know, we both scored, so we're happy.
It's awesome to see the lads so happy. The team, you can tell, is just like on cloud nine. Everyone except for probably Alexis Sanchez is just bouncing. Kids getting their debuts, beating PSG, moving on in the Champions League. I mean, United of old.
Couldn't have written it up that well, sir. I mean, it turned out to be an amazing story. Pogba couldn't feature. He had to play, you know, a team of, you know, Fred was the big buy that had to finally come due, and two Academy lads stepped up. Fred stepped up. His coming out party, he had a great performance, bro. Stepped up in the Champions League, where he has shined previously. Probably the reason that we bought him was he looked so good in the Champions League last year. So good for him. Proud of him, bro. It was great to see him getting in players' faces when Ronaldo, he's going to be Ronaldo, when Rashford was taking the penalty, bro. Because that was like, that means he gets it. That means he gives a shit about his teammates. And this club is building something special, man. We've always been, this is a special club, but like right now, this team, this squad is building something special.
We're a few pieces away, right? Ole's really kind of helped us figure out, you know, what works, what doesn't work, what we need. But, you know, Fred is the intangibles. Like you said, getting in players' faces. He had a hard challenge in on Di Maria, like right in the first minute.
That was great.
I mean, showing that type of grit, that type of passion, being up for a big match. I mean, it's great to see in Fred. And you know, the chemistry is going to come with time. Maybe he needs to learn the language. Maybe he needs to settle in Manchester, get used to the cloudy days a little more, sir, before he's going to be in full.
He's settling in, sir. Second season syndrome, right?
The intangibles are more important than, I would say, every pass on the field, because he needs more game time. You got to give him time. Sir, we got a next segment. Very spicy. Alex's Daily Mail headlines tomorrow today, sir. Looking forward to these. What do you got?
So I'll start with the biggest group of baby bitches we can find, Les Miserables, sir, from the famous French
Revolutionary War play.
Was it an opera, right? Or was it whatever it was, but they're miserable.
Musical.
PSG talked the talk, but they can't walk the walk. The French musical, despite illegally investing billions and setting the Champions League as their top goal, they get bounced for the third straight year in the round of 16. Sir, you said it earlier, it was so much sweeter after meeting their fans. Their fans look like, if those are the fans of my club, bro, I wouldn't support that club. I'll put it that way. So it was so sweet,
well
bro.
Said,
they talk
sir,
so
well
much
said.
Shit. No, they, dude, those fans, like, you going to a football match, bro, or where are you going, dude? What are you doing? Like, dressed in, like,
yeah, it looked
over.
Like they were going shopping at Armani Exchange, bro.
It
I
was
think
ridiculous.
That was
quite a look. Quite a look. So it was, dude, so sweet that is. Just go down there. They talked all this shit. Never gave us a chance.
Sir, magnifique. Magnifique, I would say.
Magnifique, indeed, sir, indeed. Your French is better than mine.
Next headline.
Next one is Ole inspires the spirit of 99, and Manchester United set a Champions League record. No team has ever overcome a 2-0 deficit away from home to advance in the competition, but Ole knows that no tie is ever done until the final whistle. And I think he just, like, instilled that in his players that, you know what? You got every chance. Lukaku gave us a chance. Two goals in the first half. Hold the line, and maybe we'll get some luck. And we got some luck, sir. We got some big luck.
Hey, we'll take it if it means quarterfinals of Champions League, sir.
All day, baby.
Next headline.
And last but not least, my boy, Big Luke, big braces. Six and three games for the big man. Seems to rate scoring two in huge spots for United as of late. He saved a huge 3 points at home against Southampton and then did PSG two more in Paris, all while not taking a penalty again in back-to-back matches. Probably should have taken it last game. This game, I'm actually happy Rashford took it because I don't think you take a better penalty than that. But, dude, big braces, bro. Three in a row. And like I said, I think he's the last person to do that for our club is Ronaldo. So, pretty decent company.
And the goals are like vintage Lukaku goals. He's getting in behind. He's bullying defenders. He's cleaning up scraps. You know, he's getting into spots that he's used to being a clinical finisher, and he's doing a job. I think before Lukaku was always played, at least at the beginning of the season, he was never really getting these opportunities to run behind like he is right now. And when you see Delo and Rashford on the wing, kind of mixing things up with the defenders, getting balls into him, he's dangerous, right?
And he's also playing in form, playing with confidence, and just his finishing has improved. I mean, look at those finishes on his right in the game before. That was, he wasn't finishing like that at the beginning of the season. So I think he's just working harder, you know, listening to his manager, who was a former striker.
Hungry. Just getting hungry.
Dude, hungry hippos, baby. He's loving it.
All right, let's jump with the Twitterverse. We sent out a poll. Who was your man of the match? The options were Lukaku, Rashford, Delo, and McTominay, with a whopping 74% of the vote. Romelu Lukaku, sir, your boy, curse no more, with the brace, gets 74% of the vote for man of the match. He's probably my man of the match, I would say. What about you?
I mean, he is. Dude, this team played so well. I mean, that's what this whole proud thing. It's like the team played unbelievably well. They played like as up to the limit, you know, pushed it as hard as you could. So the man of the match, if it's not Lukaku, it could be Lindelof or Smalling or McTominay
Rashford.
Or Fred, you know, Rashford, Ashley Young. Everyone played well, bro. I mean, everyone played well, but he got the goals. We needed those two goals to give us a chance, and I think if we didn't let in that crap goal, like you said, there would have been more chances. They would have gotten a lot more chances as well, like they did. But you got those two goals in the first half, you could just won the game with that if we didn't give up that crap goal in the 10th minute. So those two goals were key, and he stepped up in a big way, man. So proud of my man. Proud of my man, Big Luke.
Yeah, McTominay had 11%, Rashford 8%, and Delo at 7%. So McTominay getting some respect there. And one thing I actually thought, one dynamic in the game was, it might have been a blessing that we had that goal we conceded in the 12th minute. Because if you think, if we get those two goals in the first half, we're up 2-0. We're just like packing in the box, defending versus having to come from behind. That did kind of change the dynamic of the game a bit. Because I think
you're right.
It would have been tough if we were up 2-0 protecting that lead. against PSG, we wouldn't have been really going forward, wouldn't have been stretching them. And I do think maybe chasing the game helped us in the end.
And they were lulled with a false sense of security, right? They were going in until stoppage time when they gave it the penalty, which was VAR and was a handball. You know, it wasn't like a tackle challenge that led to a penalty. So they didn't kill the game off, bro. And if the game's not dead, United's not done, bro. We are always in a tie until it's over. So they forgot
Never
who they
die.
Were playing, sir. They forgot that we're Manchester United.
Sir, the legend of this club. Keeps on growing every day, and it's great to be a part of it. Seeing those baby bitches from Paris, you know, just
baby bitches
having a tough night. You know, having a tough night. Next tweet at Buffalo MUFC. I'm still buzzing, still speechless. I can't begin to say how amazing that match was. Not a single player gave up. A bunch of teenagers, over 10 injuries. Never has a team come back in the Champions League from being down 2-0 at home. Oh, what a feeling. What a night. Unbelievable stuff. Like I said, still smiling ear to ear, sir. This is a result we'll remember for years to come, and there have been far and few between the last 6 years since that Sir Alex Ferguson.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to really kick in until we see our name in the pot. Because right now it really hasn't. You know, like I see the highlights. I see the fact that we're advancing, you know, on Reddit
Twitter,
soccer. But like, I don't think until next Friday that aren't. No, a horse, sir. But I'm just even still. It's like we were written off. This was written off for weeks. We were at the game. And we're like, no way we get back in this tie. But until next Friday, when our name is in that one of those balls going around that thing, then it's going to reel. I'm going to get the matchup and find out who we're playing next. But it's unbelievable. And it's like, so proud of this club, bro. So what a great time to have an American Red Devils podcast.
I know. I got to say to the injured players, heal up, boys. We got more football to be played in the Champions League. We need to get players back and healthy. I mean, think of like Matic, Herrera, all these players getting back. I mean, Champions League. I mean, there's too much to think about. I mean, this is crunch time for United. It's crazy. Can't even enjoy this win as much as we would like, because you're right. We got top four, the battle still going. Next tweet at United Extra: Lukaku and Pogba react to the lies in the press about their bust up following the penalty incident against Southampton. I love this club. I love these guys. And attached to this tweet was a video of Pogba after the win, goes up to Lukaku. They both pretend like they're writing the story, which I believe featured in the Star or the Sun, and said that these two got in a fight and they had fallen out with each other. But clearly they're just mocking the fake news, sir.
Well, I think there's been so little negative news since we dumped our last girlfriend and got a new smoking hot Norwegian one, that they have to make up fake news now, bro. It's like they don't, you know, well, that came out. It doesn't seem like there's been any bad blood at all based on the way the team's been performing and all that Instagram quality coming out, tier zero stuff. So fake news from the Sun, just trying to drum up like, oh yeah, we got stuff behind the curtain.
No, absolutely. And what you like is they just did the cheekiest celebration, dispatch this fake news, right? Like, one of the things under the ex-girlfriend was that there's a lot of bad stories and no one was refuting them, right? So this was the first bad story. First thing they do, they refute. Tweet.
Shows a lot.
At Liam Paul Canning, give Ole the entire world and more. I mean, I think that says it all, sir. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I mean, I'm calling it. We've called it since the last pod. He's the man. There's no way they can't hire him. The Glazers were there, too.
They know. They were in in the locker room celebrating with him, bro. It's like,
it's done.
He's a magic man. It's an art, not a science.
Dude,
it's
Sir Alex Ferguson.
He's like the perfect potion. He's a perfect potion. He's perfect for us right now. And it's obvious they're giving him the job because they'd be insane not to.
The perfect potion, sir. The perfect potion. Next tweet at Bahan Red Devil. My coworkers were asking if I'm all right because I have tears in my eyes. Again, I know a lot of the American Red Devils are watching these games at work. Can't shout, can't jump, you know, can't shed those tears for your team. It's tough, sir, under the duress. I mean, you were at an airport. I'm sure you were shouting at the airport, but crazy times at Manchester United, being a Manchester United fan these days.
I mean, I think I was hooting in the car when Di Maria's goal was called offsides. So I was like making
your wife
quite
loves
a scene.
That, I'm sure.
My wife like sat down to have something to eat, and I was just like standing at the bar watching the result, watching the penalty, and then watching the the stoppage time just tick on and on and on. But there's nothing like it. I probably get to it later, but it's like feelings you haven't felt since Moscow, mate, right? That was the last time.
It's just been a tough 6 year. I mean, I understand the emotion that comes that's involved in this. It's like, yeah, I support United. We get fired up for a game, but the fact that we're back in it again, it's bringing this like this old passion out of me. It's like it's intense. It's like you heard me when the Liverpool game at 6 a.m. I was like yelling at 6 a.m. You're like, hey, man, relax.
Take it easy,
sir. If we can beat,
dude, we gotta win a league. It's been 6 years. Are you kidding me?
I know. But we just have a performance like that.
We used to win for fun. Come on, man. It's like this is. It's been such a tough 6 years.
It's a massive. It was massive.
Underrate that, right?
No, it has been, and that's why I think there's so much emotion around this. You're not the only Red that was crying yesterday, sir. There's been a lot.
Sorry, I'm not gonna say
tears.
A tear,
whatever you want to say. You can backpedal now.
Wet eyes. No, like a full like cry.
Okay. Either way, but there were tears. There are tears somewhere in
there
the
Manchester tears shed. Universe. There's a lot of tears shed. Next tweet at GreekFest 1981 at USA Red Devils. Cheers, never win. Clap, clap, clap. I mean, this says it all. The Qataris, they cheated. Cheated financial fair play, bought a bunch of players, bunch of baby bitches. They lose. The Neymar gif of him with a shock expression side of the field is like, I've laughed out loud at that, like, countless times. It's just, he's looking back and forth. It's like
that
forever
earring,
a meme.
Like that earring? It's like, yeah, bro, good.
That look, unbelievable. Next tweet, at United Report, PSG's Chiefs were furious at Patrice Evra, Pogba, and other members of the Manchester United delegation as they celebrated the win in the Tunnel area. PSG president, the top cheater, Nasser Al-Khelaifi, destroyed a door in his post-game fury. Apparently, destroyed a door.
What does that mean?
I mean, if I was him, you probably gotta take your anger out. You gotta do something. I don't know. Maybe like punch a pillow. I don't know, sir. What would you do? You know,
buy another football club.
Dude, three exits in 3 years after investing over $1 billion in this team. It's unbelievable. Yep. Neymar's going to leave. Probably Mbappe wants to go.
PSG form is temporary, bro. Class is permanent. Like, this is a club that was like invented in 1970 and then was like loaded up with oil money from the Middle East. It's like, this club has no history. Nothing that like binds it together other than a bunch of overpaid star players. And it's like, there's a reason they got knocked out by a bunch of Manchester United Academy players and an Academy team that's like run by Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who has so much attachment to this club because football still has that magic, bro. Karma. The guy that gave away the freaking penalty in this game was the guy that should have been sent off in the last game for the three yells that he didn't get. So it's like, there is karma in the football universe. It's a great game, bro. The greatest game.
Universe is just, sir. The universe is just, especially when Manchester United end up on top. At United's update, McTominay, 12.47 kilometers, and Fred, 12.38 kilometers, covered more distance than any other players on the pitch last night. I thought this was an amazing stat. Shout out to McTominay and Fred for both just working for 100 minutes out there because the referee decided to invent some extra time.
Just kept adding minutes, sir. But I think we're good on the midfield for a while, bro. McTominay is a great heir apparent to Matic, and Fred seems to play, you know, the slightly Brazilian version of Herrera. So these guys had a coming out party. I'm proud for both of them. McTominay is an academy lad. Like, what a performance he had. And Fred, you feel bad for him, dude. He got slated so much. Flop, and he had a really good game. And that's just great to see because if you're a Manchester United fan, you want all the players to succeed. You know, you want all of them to do well. You don't want anyone to flop.
Sir, Twitter was alight, so that's why we got a lot of tweets here. But I'll end with probably the most important one, at least to me. At United Extra, United source, quote, Fergie is like a new man. He's absolutely buzzing off what Ole has brought to the club. Hashtag MUFC. And, you know, given his health struggles, given he told the club to hire David Moyes and Beckham, probably the biggest mistake he's ever made in the history, at least at his career in Manchester United, was saying that David Moyes was the right man for the club. And seeing it in Ole's hands, a former player who learned a lot from him, and, you know, seeing the club in a good spot, you know, it's in good hands. I think that means a lot to him because it has been a rough 6 years, like we said.
Well, he's a fan like we are, sir. He loves this club, and it's good to see this club shed all of the baggage that we've accumulated over the last 6 years. He was a contributing factor to that. I'm sure he feels a little bit of guilt for the fact that he gave us David Moyes, but But I think he was also apparently instrumental in the placement of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer as the interim manager. They like gave him, you know, they went to LVG, went to Mourinho, and they're like, okay, Fergie, what do you think? And it was the right choice. And Ed Woodward is a lucky man, bro, because doesn't have to worry about buying out Poch's contract, bro. It's like, you know, $30 million buyout, a levy.
Yeah.
Dude, there was a huge buyout, apparently. And Levy was like smacking his lips about that. But we found a man, and he's one of our own, bro.
Unbelievable, sir. But as much as we could just talk about the amazing PSG game that we're going on, we're playing more Champions League football, we have another match, and it is a big one, sir. We were playing Arsenal at the Emirates this Sunday, March 10th at 9:30 a.m. Pacific. Huge game, top four implications. Tight turnaround with PSG. Lots of injuries, sir. I mean, the headlines just write themselves. How are you feeling going into this game?
I'll tell you what, sir. I'm feeling a lot better after they lost 3-1 in the Europa League.
the Gunners. Rennes.
Sir,
I
want to, like, play the same. I mean, I know we have injuries. Hopefully players are coming back. I actually don't know what players are coming back, but just Pogba. Pogba, like that team with Pogba, I know they're going to be coming down from a big game. They ran their asses off, but like, bring on the Gunners, bro. It's like McTominay. Let's go. McTominay, a.k.a. McSauce, as he's being called on Twitter. Scott McSauce, dude. McTominay. Dude, he's ready, bro. He's ready.
Dude, I mean, who's afraid of Count Chocula? Unai Emery, the poor man's Count Chocula. struggling. Arsenal's coming off two disappointing matches, a draw against Tottenham in the North London Derby, Aubameyang off the mark on the penalty spot, and they lost today to Rennes. And those who haven't heard of Rennes, they play in League One, the French League, and they are currently 10th in the table there. So Arsenal losing 3-1 to a 10th place French League One side. Three days.
Sounds about right.
United. Sounds about right. I mean, the boys beating PSG, clearly top of the table, by a long margin. So
already won the league.
Feeling
I think,
good,
right?
Dude. It's always mental with Arsenal, sir. United, we have the mental edge. They probably have more healthy players than we do, but at the end of the day, I rate our team of anyone. The form we're in, the attitude we have, we're walking in to the Emirates. We beat them 3-1 in the FA Cup in January. I think there's no doubt in any player's mind that we're going to win. And that's the way Manchester United goes. We win before we step on the field, sir. Arsenal know they're going to bottle it.
We didn't, dude. We didn't for the last couple of years, but we have that back now, and especially away. I'm almost more excited that we're playing away than home because our away form is mythical how good it is. Basically, we're perfect. We're perfect on the road, including PSG. Can't wait to like smoke Arsenal at their house. It's even better at their house because all you hear is Ole at the wheel all game, baby.
Yeah, and that away form includes Chelsea away, Tottenham away, Arsenal away, PSG away. Those nine games. So it's not just nine games against like lower league sides, sir. All eyes on the EPL table, sir. We have a race for top four. City 71 points. Liverpool at 70. Again, tight stuff for the title. Liverpool chumping it, which is what we like to see. We don't talk about it much, but I am very happy Liverpool is not doing too well, sir.
They're doing the Liverpool thing.
Ahead,
they're blowing their leads,
one behind.
Sir.
I mean, sounds it's tough right. times. Klopp's blaming the wind. What do you mean? Then you got Tottenham. Tottenham fading fast. I mean, we're going to catch them. 61 points. Manchester United on 58 and Arsenal on 57. Sir, I mean, this game is... If Arsenal pips us, that's trouble for top four. I mean, I rate us given the form we're in, but this game is arguably more important than
season.
PSG. It's more important than the PSG game. The PSG game is a feel-good factor. We could go on and win the Champions League, but you think about it, we cannot lose out on top four this season. This is a must-win for getting players in, for just getting the money for the club in general. We have to get top four, right? It's probably more important than moving on to the Champions League. Although,
is,
romantically,
you know,
fans want the Champions League more because they want to have a chance
yeah.
to win it.
No, they do. And you still make top four, right? You're going to the Champions League the next year. But that's much harder to do. And after all the work we've done in the league, now it'd be within 3 points of top three of third place, bro. Like I said a couple pods ago, like third place is now our target. And I think if we win this game, and I don't know what's going to happen to Tottenham on the weekend. Maybe they'll win, but you separate yourself from the Arsenals and the Chelseas at least, right? So if you're fighting with Tottenham for third place, then that rounds out the top four. But if we lose this game or get a draw, then it's going to be a knife fight to the end of the season between us, Arsenal and Chelsea. Whereas you win this game, we're in good shape. We're cruising.
Yeah, the big consequences. I rate us to win at Arsenal by a few goals. Your boy Lukaku, I think he might get that hat trick.
I think it's about time, right?
It's been elusive, sir. It's been elusive. Let's check in with the injuries. There's a lot of them. Quick
long
note.
List.
Long list, but a quick note. Marcus Rojo, Argentinian.
On the bench.
Player. On the bench. I thought he would never play for Manchester United. He comes out of the woodwork. He's back from injury. They're just like, probably called him back from Argentina. He was busy getting a bunch of tattoos. But again, it's good to see Marcus Rojo on the bench for United, especially given all the injuries we have. Starting off, Eric Bailly and Knock. We have no update. He did go down. Maybe it was his pride that was wounded. Hard to say. And then the big,
that's rough,
the big update.
Rough.
You know how I like to slay players, sir.
I know, sir.
Next update. No one would mind me slating this guy. Alexis Sanchez, MCL knee ligament injury. He is going to be out until late April, sir. So Sanchez, we feared the worst. It was the worst. But again, if any player that could be injured, not too worried about Sanchez, given...
Rather have Herrera back than Sanchez.
Herrera, there's no return. Herrera on the hammy, Lingard on the hammy. Mott's on the hammy. No Damn. Update on those injuries. Manager playing coy, so we shall see. Matic, he should be back shortly. They're saying the 10th of March with the muscle injury. Same with Phil Jones. He got sick out till March 10th. I can't believe this list still has more players on it, sir. Martial
going,
with the groin strain. he should be back shortly. He could feature. Darmian, another coming back on the 10th, and then Valencia should be out till late March with the muscle strain. So as far as players who could feature for Arsenal, we're looking at Matic, Jones, Martial, and Darmian. So those are the four players that could be ready, but again, I wouldn't think they would start.
Bench.
I think they might come off the bench, right?
Yeah, totally agree.
Sir, I am almost out of breath. Given those injuries, what is your lineup? What are you thinking to beat Arsenal at the Emirates?
Sir, if a team's good enough to beat PSG, well, they're probably good enough to beat Arsenal. So a lot of the same players, because that's basically all we got. So I got De Gea, Net, who else? Ashley Young, right back. Lindelof, Smalling, the best center back pairing we can ask for. They are playing great. And Shaw, left back, he just keeps playing better and better. You know, it's not just not getting hurt. He's actually playing great this season, so good on him. Midfield three, baby. Here we go. McTominay, Fred, Pogba. And a front three, a Piera, Rashford, Lukaku, front two, baby. Piera at 10, Thunder and Lightning. It was a little bit delayed, but Thunder Lightning is coming good, sir, finally.
Sir, very similar lineup, but I'll tell you what, Fred ain't starting. De Gea, Young, Lindelof, Smalling, Shaw, I think that's permanent. McTominay, Pereira, Pogba in the midfield, then Dalot, Rashford, and Lukaku up top. I rate Dalot playing on the right wing, Rashford playing on the left, Lukaku. Brace Lukaku. Right through the middle, sir. I say we do Arsenal for four. No problem. But before we get into our score predictions officially, we're going to be booking the bookies, checking in with the bookmakers. I mean, Manchester United plus 206 to win. I honestly think this is free money if there ever was anything.
Confident.
I mean, I think we're going to smoke them. Arsenal plus 145 to win. They're the favorites in the draw, plus 253. I mean, what scenario does Manchester? I think we play 10 games, we win 8. Like Arsenal,
we're
in the
pretty
dumps.
Depleted
the
squad,
dumps.
But even with a depleted squad, I think we're just playing lights
it's
out.
It's the mental game.
I mean, 7 out of 10, but yeah, we're a better team than them, even with the injuries.
Maybe I'm overconfident that Ole's at the wheel. You never know.
Does feel good. Does feel good.
But Arsenal losing to a mid-table French side doesn't say well. I mean, they tied Tottenham. We beat Tottenham. Again, it's going to take a few Dave saves. It's going to take Lindelof and Smalling stepping up. It's going to take Lukaku with a brace probably to beat him. Sir, what is your score prediction? What do you think?
Sir, I'm calling 3-1. Lukaku gets his hat trick. We leak. You always get a leak one, maybe off a corner. But 3-1, United gets the victory, and Ole's Red Army marches on.
Sir, I'm going to send out a choo-choo. The high train going to the Emirates, 4-0, sir. We're getting the clean sheet for Dave Saves. We're smoking him. Paul Pogba is back. He's fired up that
Pogba,
he was on
we
the
got
field
Pogba,
for PSG,
bro.
And he wants to show the world
he looks
that
ready to go.
that he is the main man at Manchester United. He's going to go out and get a few stir. Might even give Lukaku a penalty just so they can make up clean. United in the news, sir. Let's hop in with our biggest headlines. We're going to focus on Solskjaer. Per the Mirror, Solskjaer will be appointed permanent manager at Manchester United. He'll earn $7.5 million per year. I think I said 10, so getting him on the cheap. Half
$10 million
earned.
That's a bargain.
Sir. That's half of what Mourinho earned. I would think you can't just pay him half. You
I think that's less than half. I think that's less than half. I think he was making like 17.
I thought it was 14. I don't know.
I thought it was like 16. Whatever. Either way.
It's still a lot of money. Ole probably doesn't need this much money. So at a certain point, it just doesn't matter. Probably matters more to him about winning football games than the money. So
more important that he's getting the full-time job. That's all that matters. Yeah. $7.5 million is what he's worth. That's what you pay a manager of this club's magnitude, the biggest club in England. $7.5 million sounds good. Ole has deserved it. What a run, dude. Keep it going, baby.
Sir, you know what I'm excited for? The Made for Hollywood movie of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
That's after we win the Champions League. That's after we win the treble. That's after we like claw back the Premier League in the next 9 games. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, we could have Gollum play the Gollum actor. Play Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. This is precious. The Hobbit, The Lord of the Rings, sir. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, the Norwegian, bringing all the magic to Manchester United.
Another treble would be precious indeed.
MUFC players, this is per ESPN, expect Solskjaer to be named as permanent manager before the end of the season. Senior staff are waiting for Ed Woodward to confirm him as Mourinho's full-time successor. So I do think Woody is playing coy, but everyone knows. It's a done deal. I mean, the players were singing his name in the locker room after this game. Sir Alex Ferguson was singing
amazing.
His name
that
in the locker
amazing.
Room after this game. Eric Cantona singing his name in the locker room after this game. I mean, it's a done deal. It's back.
It's done.
The legends
He's the
are
gaffer.
Back.
He's the
Manchester
gaffer,
United
dude.
Is back, sir. It's great. How great does it feel? Always at the wheel, sir. And this is kind of on the darker side of things. After the match, this is just per various sources. A Manchester United fan had to have emergency surgery in Paris after being stabbed in the chest by a taxi driver following Wednesday night's Champions League match. I mean, this is per Sky Sports.
No, this is actually confirmed, sir. I saw this when I was waiting to get picked up for my flight. They were like three United fans singing in a cab, and the guy in the front seat got stabbed. So, scary stuff. You know, you got to always be careful, especially when you beat someone away in a hostile environment. So we're all rooting for that fan to make it through and, you know, hope to see him in Old Trafford soon.
Yeah, I mean, the driver must have been like a real big PSG fan or something.
It must have been.
You know, I just like...
Doesn't like the Stone Roses.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where as an away fan at important and big games like this in Europe, it'd be hard not to be fired up after the game. But you got to kind of keep your head on a swivel because it is dangerous, right? You are away from home, and all away fans are kind of not liked by the locals because they usually like in Europe, they have a bad rap for like jacking up plazas before games. And so, but I'm sure this guy was a shady character and, you know, probably a really
had a blade
PSG
on him. Sorry, had a blade on him. That's like, already a shady guy.
But again, there's actually positive news out on Twitter today. A fan got to speak to him. He has come out of surgery. He's doing well. And it looks like the club has been helping and assisting his family as well during this situation. So he should be in Manchester Sunday or Monday. I'm sure we'll hear more about this incident. But again, for those fans traveling to away matches, always, you know, be careful. Be careful when you're out there. You never know. Especially when you're a marked man, when you're an outsider coming in, you gotta be careful. Next article, on the brighter side of things, Neymar forced his way through the corridor to outside the official's office after Manchester United's win in Paris, and he also had to be restrained by the members of the PSG staff. Neymar on crutches, crying, making a big deal of things, making a meal of it. He wasn't making a meal of it on the pitch, so I guess off the pitch he's got to be drama city, right?
I mean, the only thing he needs to do is roll around on the ground for like 10 minutes like he's been shot. Dude, the OG baby bitch, never gonna win.
Yeah,
World
the king
Cup.
Of the baby bitches.
Like perfect, like the most typical PSG player of all time is Neymar. It's just like all, you know, he's a good player, but when it comes down to it, he's just.
I thought you said Danny Alves was the most PSG player of all time.
The two of them, they have different sizes of the pen. Different sizes of the coin, sir.
They're
all kind of embodied.
Like with their
that,
powers
that crap
combined,
team.
It's like, you know, it's like Captain
Perfect,
Planet.
The perfect supervillain, sir, and that's PSG. Basically, it's like the city version in France. So, who's worried about Neymar, bro? Of course, he's gonna be a baby bitch,
dude. And it's funny. Pre-game, he was seen with Ninja, the famous video game streamer. So he's got like Ninja in the box with Neymar. You know, Neymar's blowing it up on social media. Everyone's just like, we're going to enjoy the game.
Let me get
just
knocked
watch
out.
Us win. And then they just, United just rants on their parade. It was sweet tears of PSG fans, sir. It was great. A great night for Manchester United.
Sir, speaking of raining on parades, what's grinding John's gears this week, sir?
Sir, I will tell you what. This is pretty useless of a comment, but but Tuchel, the PSG coach, it's pouring in PSG. He's on the sideline. He's wearing a down jacket, sir. Do you not respect down? I mean, seriously, you can't be wearing a down jacket in the rain. I'm sure he's the type of guy, you know, he seems very regimented. Seems like the type of guy who wouldn't want to change his wardrobe. He's wearing a down jacket in the rain. Not a good look, sir. What would you be wearing on the touchline?
Be wearing like a sporty trench, bro. It's pouring out.
But to his credit, in the post game presser, he actually said that he was pretty humble. He wasn't he wasn't like blaming the referee too bad. He was actually just saying like we got beat. It was a tough match,
bro. They got beat them good, sir. They got beat by a bunch of academy players, by United B team, bro. I love it.
Sir, we have some fan questions and some banter. We asked you guys for some comments, some questions on Twitter, and boy, do we have a lot. We will hit them all in rapid fire succession. Sir, you could be answering the questions and reacting to the banter. From Gregory at MarenD80, can we remove Sanchez from the Ole's on the wheel chant? Sir, what do you think about that?
Gregory, don't worry. We're going to replace him with Sancho. It slides right in. Sancho, Paul Pogba, and Fred. Yeah, see, it's going to work great. Next question.
There you go, sir. Look, you're already on this.
I'm ready for Sancho. That's another reason he's a top prospect, sir. It's all about songs.
I actually think you called it. That will probably happen. Next next question or comment at Newton Heath KC. Sirs, can we talk about the unique swerve and dip and power combination Rashford hits the ball with? That ball did things to Buffon. Check the replay, sir. I mean, what did you think of that hit?
It's like Ronaldo, bro. I think he learned it from watching old videos of him, or maybe when he was way back in the academy watching him when he was training. But, dude, he hits the ball. It's got that unbelievable swerve. Maybe Buffon could have done better, but it was a wet surface, and I think Rashford knew what he was doing. I think Lukaku and him had been talking, and it came off great.
Sir, I said on a previous pod, I was like, the way he hits the ball is very unique to players like at his age. Like it's Ronaldo-esque the way he's striking the ball.
It is.
Next tweet.
Most 20-year-olds can't do that.
Next tweet from Johnny Utah at sir_her. Do we keep Rom? No brainer, sir.
Absolutely, bro. Scored 3 braces in a row. I'll raise you a 4th. If he does it at Arsenal, they'll give him a contract. Give him another contract right there. But that's pretty important stuff.
How about this? I'll let you get another Lukaku jersey if he scores a brace at Arsenal. Sir, next tweet at @ManUnited_Indy, INDY. What problem OGS has on his hands now? If everyone's healthy, has the preferred starting 11 changed with the performances of other players? I mean, it's kind of pick of the litter, right?
I mean, we're not going to have those players back quite yet. So hopefully Fred continues to kick on. McTominay continues to kick on. Deleau, I think, might be playing as an attacker with all the injuries we have. So we're going to find ourselves with a pretty decent bench and squad once, you know, those 11, 12, 13 players, how many there are now on the bench, not on the bench, on the injury list, come back into the fold. So things are looking better, sir.
Sir, especially with FA Cup matches and Champions League matches coming up, there's going to be tight turnarounds, and we're going to need that bench, especially.
I like the sound of Champions League matches coming up, bro. I did not think that was going to be a thing.
Coming up, sir. Every time it leaves my mouth. Next tweet at MJFit16. United is a pragmatic, dynamic team under Ole. They have won games almost everywhere you can win. This is Sir Alex's legacy. He didn't know that he prepared for it, but he did. Hashtag Ole at the wheel. Sir, that says it all right there. Sir Alex leaving his legacy, his youngin' coming up, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, at the helm. Couldn't say more. Next tweet, at Nurani Zulfi on Twitter. Question, do you think they're waiting to announce Ole Gunnar Solskjaer as the manager after they announce a new director of football? Is Eric Cantona possibly the director of football, sir? What do you think?
Ooh, I don't know why they're waiting. They're probably waiting to make some big splash, maybe like, you know, fly in some fancy big piano. Maybe the pianos are cursed now. They're going to find a different musical instrument that Ole can play. I think he's playing. He's the orchestra, right? He's basically, that's the instrument he plays. Is he conducts the orchestra, which is this team. I don't know what they're waiting for. It's probably coming. Whether Eric Cantona is the director of football, I don't know about that, bro. Unproven, never done it before. Sounds like, I mean, that's like magic.
He's a
twice
boss,
in a row.
Though. He's just generally a boss.
So oh, yeah, of course. He's Cantona.
Next tweet, at Sean_Brace. I mean, there you go. You got Brace in your name and Lukaku scoring braces. Quote, are we winning the whole fucking thing? I'm sure he's referring to the Champions League, sir. I mean, I rate us right now as one of the top teams in the tournament, especially we get time to get healthy before the next round. And we just believe, sir. We believe. The spirit of 99 is alive.
I mean, we knocked out PSG. Real Madrid got knocked out. There's still a lot of good teams left, but why not? We're going to have more and more players coming back off the injury list. We got Big Rom firing. Paul Pogba is going to play. We got David De Gea. I mean, we got a really good team, and especially when people start believing that anything is possible and impossible is nothing, why can't we win the Champions League?
Finishing up the fan banter with at Ty Kircher. I don't have any question this week. I'm just happy to see how many others there are. Love seeing the podcast grow. Makes me so happy to be a Patreon supporter. Thank you so much, Ty.
Thank you,
for
Tyler.
Your support. We are a small shop. You are on the road with your recording device getting stopped at security. We cobble this thing together every week, multiple times a week now that United is winning. It has never been a better time to be a Man United fan and to run a podcast. So if you want to support us, check out our Patreon page. You can see it. Link to it at www.AmericanRedDevils.com, sir. And we have some shout-outs. It has been a hell of a week for downloads. For the PSG game, we hit another record for the podcast downloads for the last episode. All the hype going into PSG. Will the boys climb the mountain? And they did. We have top cities last 7 days. Sir, San Diego, California, hitting us up. Number one on the list. Number two, New York. Number three, Redford, Michigan.
Number four, sir. Staying power indeed. Our favorite Norwegians. We appreciate you guys in the top five. Oslo, Norway. Number five, Chicago, Illinois. Number six, hometown, San Francisco, California. Back up there, creeping up. We appreciate it. Sir, keep us going.
Dallas, Texas, number seven. Los Angeles, California, number eight, sir. Finish him up.
Number nine, San Bernardino, California. And number 10, a new entrant in the list, Dublin, Ireland. Good to see ya. Good times are ahead. Good times are here. Manchester United, how good does it feel, sir? It feels real good.
We appreciate your support, the downloads, the banter, everything. Keep it coming. Again, it's the best time to be a Manchester United fan I can remember since Sir Alex Ferguson. The mojo, whatever you want to call it, is back, sir. And speaking of mojos, we have been seeing some amazing iTunes reviews. The latest update is we are at 86. We've been getting a lot of emails and notes from you guys. We love the banter. We love the reviews. And if you want a free sticker, all you need to do is drop a 5-star review on iTunes, and we will mail you a sticker. Just take a screenshot of the review, email it to us at AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com, or you can send us to us on Twitter at @USAREDDevils, and we'll mail you a sticker, sir. We have about 130 of them left. We're trying to get to 101 reviews so we can be the number one most reviewed podcast on iTunes for Manchester United. And it's all organic. It's all you guys giving us the banter, giving us the feedback, telling us what we're doing, sir. Unbelievable run. Hell of a time, sir.
Let's get to 100. It's been an amazing run, and the reviews are amazing. We've mentioned this before. They lift us every time we read them, every time we see new ones coming on, and they are great. The sirs, we can't help it with the sirs. I'm telling you, it's not forced. We've noticed some comments. We got some 4-star reviews because people don't like the sirs. But I've been best friends with this guy since I was 14 years old. We basically, fell in love with Manchester United as we were becoming friends, so apologies. Sorry, we're not sorry, but it's just, I don't know. I mean, until we go big league, real big league, we're not going to lose the surge. They're not going anywhere. So, sorry about that.
They probably won't go anywhere, but again, it just speaks to the organic nature of this podcast. I mean, you and me came up with this idea a little over 2 years ago. We're like always talking about Manchester United in front of our wives, and they are just yipping at us. So
it's really for their sake.
Why don't we just
it?
Record it? Yeah, and we actually don't talk about the games until we get on the pod, so the banter is fresh and hot. Like sometimes you get mad at me for my opinion, ragging on Lukaku. You come at me after that. It's great. It's
but it's all real. It's all real.
It's organic. It's like what being a Manchester United fan should be, and we want to get all your guys' opinions in. And look, if you want to get in touch with us, we'd love to hear what you think about the podcast. Because we're making it for you guys. This completely organic process. We want this to be a real fans perspective. Power to the people. especially getting the American fan perspective out there, doesn't really shine through. Everything really comes from Britain. They tell us what to think, but
we're catching on, sir.
We're catching on. USA Soccer is a little behind the eight ball, but as far as fanship, Americans are getting pretty sharp as it relates to English teams and European football in general. But, sir, who cares about it? Other teams. How good does it feel? Always at the wheel. Manchester United going in. We're going to beat up Arsenal. Take them. Nothing. 4-0, sir. You heard it here. Buzzing, mate. Completely buzzing. Enjoy Montana. Enjoy Montana. Enjoy the skiing this weekend.
can't wait to get to watch the Arsenal game. Can't wait to go down to the Emirates and batter them, bro. Let's get a result and keep that Ole train marching on.
We got a new sign off this week because the song is catchy. I slated it in the beginning, but we're going to replace the kick in the blue just for the meantime because we're on the hype train is officially here. Like, we are on the hype train. We're dancing into the Emirates. How good does it feel, sir?
That is it for you.